Tito was supposed to be here tonight, but I haven't heard anything from him. And oh, there she is. Did your dad show up? Did he come? Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if he was going to be here or not, but he got held up. He had to work. Okay, that's fine. All right, 2 Peter chapter 3. And the more I read about the Lord coming back, the more excited I get. And 2 Peter chapter 3, it says, the Lord is not slack, verse 9, concerning his promises. Thank God he's not slack when it comes to his promises. When he made promises that he's coming back, and he's made us promises throughout the Word of God that he'll supply our need, he'll do all that, thank God he will. Amen. The Lord's not a liar. And when God makes a promise, he keeps his promises. And when he said he's coming back, he's coming back. Amen. And I'm glad he is. I'm glad he's coming back. And why? So he can get his rightful place. And he gets the rightful place. And then he'll be the rightful judge. And we ain't got to worry about the Supreme Court. They're a bunch of men that judge according to parties and how it's going to benefit them financially and all that stuff. The Lord's not going to judge that way. He's going to judge righteous judgment. It's going to be righteous judgment. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. Thank God he is. Amen. Think about if God was not long-suffering to us. I mean, the worst person in the world, God's long-suffering to. And then the best person in the world, God's long-suffering to. Because if truth be known, we all deserve to be in hell with our back broken, our eyes scratched out. That's truth be known. Even in your best state, the Bible says man is in his best state is altogether vanity. Even in your best state. A lot of times we think we've arrived when we think we've kept a few things and done things in our life, and we prayed and we did this and did that. We think we've arrived. You haven't arrived. You haven't arrived. You still deserve to go to hell. You still deserve the judgment of God, but God, he's long suffering. And slow, it says, not willing that any should perish. You think about men. I've talked to a lot of men on the job site, and I've talked to a lot of men like you have. And I've had men tell me about Jesus Christ, blankety blank, Jesus Christ. I'm going to stand before him. I'm going to say all this stuff to him. I said, you ain't going to say a word, Bubba. You ain't going to say nothing. You're going to be on your face before God. They said, no, I'm going to be up there. I'm going to cuss him out. I'm going to do that. I said, no, you ain't. I had one man on the job. He told me he was going to do that. And his wife, he was driving down the road. He was driving down the road, and his wife, he pulled over. She said she was sick. And a guy was mocking God all the time, making fun. And he was driving down the road right through Newcastle. And he said he pulled over, and his wife was throwing up out of the car. And she fell out of the car and died right there. And I went and preached her funeral. He called me up. I went and preached his funeral. My son, Samson, worked with him at a roofing company. And a guy, he said to me, remember where this place is. We took her up there in Pennsylvania. You said, did you get mad at him? Did you say, told you so? No, I didn't do none of that. I told him, I said, man, you need to get saved. You need to trust Jesus Christ, your Savior. I said, was your wife saved? He said, yes, she was. I said, well, you need to get saved. And he claims he got saved. And then about 2 years later, about the same time, I get a call. He died. And he told me when I was up at his wife's funeral during the gravesite, he said, remember this, where this place is, because you'll be back here for me. And he was sure right. 2 years later, I was right back there for him up in Pennsylvania. And, you know, God's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And it says, the day of the Lord shall come like a thief in the night, as a thief in the night. And we talked about that last time. The rapture is like a thief. He can come like a thief in the night. When the Lord comes back, it's going to be like that. It's going to be boom. But also, the day of the Lord. Take your Bible. Let's look at that real quick. Go to 2 Thessalonians and look at 2 Thessalonians 2. Go to 2 Thessalonians 2. Look at this. And the Lord's going to come back like a thief in the night. And it's going to be when people least expect him. And that's the way the Lord is. When you least expect it, the Lord's going to show up. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, look at verse 1. He says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in the mind. With all this stuff going on in the world, all this stuff that's happening, it says that ye be not soon shaken in your mind, nor be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, that for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposed and exalted himself above all that is called a God or that is a worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. Now go back, it says, go back to Revelation chapter 16. Look at this. The day of God, the day of the Lord. Revelation 16. He says, don't be shaken in your mind and don't be soon shaken, but the Lord's going to come like a thief in the night. Revelation chapter 16. Look at this. Look at 16 and look at verse 15. Revelation 16 and verse back up to 13. It says, I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, out of the mouth of the false prophet. That's the unholy trinity. They are the spirits of devils working miracles and go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God. And behold, I come as a what? Thief. Blessed is he that watches and keepeth his garments. That's talking to Jews. Lest he walk naked and see his shame. And he gathered them together onto a place called, in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. And that's one place I want to see. I want to see Megiddo Valley. I want to see that place. I want to go look at it. I want to walk in there. I want to go think about, you know, all the stuff that's going to happen there, what the Bible talks about. And the Bible tells you that 200 million men are going to go in that valley, and they're going to, Jesus Christ is going to come back and fight against them. 200 million men. That's going to be the greatest and biggest army the world ever seen. And who's it coming after? Coming after the Jews and coming after Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? Man, I'm just amazed. Go to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24. I thought back, how many times did I curse God? How many times in my life I stood out there and I accused God and called God all kinds of names? And boy, he's long-suffering, slow to anger, had mercy on my family. And boy, I tell you what, that's why I can't thank him. I don't care what anybody thinks about it. I go anywhere and I don't care what anybody thinks about me. I don't care what anybody thinks about my Savior, about what they think about me loving my Savior. I don't care. You got to get the attitude. I don't care what they think. The world don't care. You look at them Hindus, that Hindu little girl went to a church one time, and those people, man, burnt her, killed her, beat her, killed her, and burned her. And the people, the crowd went, you know, kind of elated when they threw more gasoline on her. And I watched her little legs just shake. My God, man, I was going, my God, my God. No injustice when the Lord comes back. Matthew 24. Matthew 24, God gives men a space to repent and to get right. Look at this, Matthew 24, and back up there, verse 38. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them away, all away. And so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. One shall be taken, the other left. This mid-tribulation rapture here. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour the Lord doeth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such hours ye think not the Son of Man cometh. And he's talking about that's mid-tribulation, but the Lord's going to come like a thief in the night. At the rapture, he's going to come back as a thief in the night in the mid-tribulation rapture. Go to Revelation chapter 11. Revelation 11. Moses and the Lord, the Bible says God's not willing that any should perish in that passage we read in Peter. He says God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God doesn't want man to die and go to hell. He doesn't want man. He doesn't want people to die and go to hell. He cares about people. Gives them chance after chance after chance after chance. And they still give him the finger, still curse him out, still say all kinds of stuff about him and turn their nose up to him. But he's long-suffering. Thank God he is. And Revelation 11, look at this. It says in Revelation, and I will give power to my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days. This is Moses and Elijah. He says, clothed in sackcloth, and these are the two olive trees, the two candlesticks standing before God of the earth. If any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth. See, man has to start it and devour their enemies. If any man will hurt them, he must have been to let this matter be killed. These have power to shut heaven, and that's how you know it's Moses and Elijah. Going down, and look at verse 10. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts one to another because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of God shall enter into them. And they stood upon their feet and great fear fell upon them all, them that saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in the cloud, and their enemies beheld them. Notice their enemies. Now, the Bible says this, go back in 2 Peter chapter 3. The Lord's going to come like a thief in the night, and the elements are going to burn up. Everything's going to burn up one day. That's going to be after the tribulation, after the millennium, but he's going to make a new, he's going to make the earth like a new, like the Garden of Eden again for the 1,000-year millennium. And then after that, new heaven, new earth. Look down at verse 10 again of 2 Peter chapter 3. It says, but the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be? Knowing this, knowing the future, knowing what's coming down the pike, what manner of persons are we ought to be? I mean, we ought to be telling the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help us God. We ought to be living in our, look what else it says, your conversations. So the person ought to be in all holy conversations and godliness. And, you know, if there ever was a day when Christians are not trying to live godly, it's today. And we're getting more and more that way. And the churches that are that believe in separation and Bible preaching and doctrine, those type of things like the Bible teaches, they're falling by the wayside. Why? Because people don't want to hear that. They want this. They want to do what they want to do. They want the preacher to be having itching ears, and they want the guy to be able to tickle their ears and itch, you know, just listen to whatever philosophy that somebody has rather than. I've had people tell me this. Don't tell me what the Word of God says. Just give me your opinion. Give me your opinion. Everybody's got an opinion. But what does the Bible say? Amen. That's what you got to go by. And if the Word of God says one thing and your opinion is something else, you throw your opinion out and take the Word of God. And but today, everybody's got their opinion. Brother Sochet was telling me the other day, he said, I went to a church my daughter goes to. He said, I'm glad she's going to church. He said, he just met his daughter from the past. He didn't even know he had a daughter 40 years ago. He was, you know, before he was saved and all. And he had found out later he had a daughter. He told me that when he was here. And he said his daughter invited him to go to church. So he went to a church. He said, well, it was a mega church. He said, you talking about a mega church. He said, down in Louisiana, Mississippi. He said, I went in there. He said, the preacher came out, and he said they had a spotlight on it. They had all the strobe lights in there and everything. He said, don't get me wrong. He said, I thank God. He said, I thank God my daughter's going to church and my grandchild is going to church. He said, well, I thank God for that. Our husband goes with her. He said, but all it is just a big, like a rock concert. He said, they dance around, they stand up. He said, I'm sitting there. He said, you talking about somebody out of place. I'm sitting there. They're up there. They're doing this, all that stuff. And dancing around, you know, the music's going. They're doing this, you know, all that stuff. And he said, he's just sitting there. And he said, I stood up and just to kind of, so I wouldn't make her feel that, you know, I was against her. And he said, I just met her. I just met her. And I'm going to church with her. And he said, the pastor came out. He said 5 minutes, less than 5 minutes, he came out. He had a pair of blue jeans on, and he had a T-shirt, and he come out, and he sat down on the thing with no pulpit, and he sat down on the chair, and he said, look, I'm not going to preach to you. He said, I'm just going to talk to you a few minutes. I said, that's a Dr. Phil kind of church now. It's a psychology. He said, what the guy was saying was the truth. He said, what he said was the truth. But he said, hardly no Bible. None. No preaching on nothing negative. And that's why the churches get so big. They don't preach on nothing negative. They say, well, don't judge me, man. Don't judge me. No, you know, the Bible talks about judging one another, or judging yourself first. You're supposed to judge yourself. But it gets to the place, don't judge nothing. They don't want to judge nothing. You can't judge sin in your own life, and you can't do it. So he said, will I ever go back? He said, I probably doubt it. You know what? Let me tell you something. The old timers are dying off. And the Bible-believing churches are dying off, but the new wave is coming. The new wave is the Laodicean church.
That's right.
And you know what Jesus said about the Laodicean church? He said the Laodicean church, he said, he's outside knocking on the door trying to get in. That's the new wave. The new wave is, it's all about me. It's all about I. It's all about number one. And that's what it's about. And you know what? When you preach on sin, it's supposed to be about you. Amen. And about you getting things right. That's what it's supposed to be. Amen. And you know what? If a person gets right, they don't care what you preach on. Right. You can preach on anything. They don't care. Things right between me and God. I ain't gonna care about what you think. And just everything's right. And so you preach on it. Amen. Go on with it. But what happens is the new wave, I'm seeing it. I'm only been saved for 40-some years, but I've seen it from the 40 years I've been saved. I've seen this new wave coming in. And the old-timers are gone. The new coming in, new crowd. And you know what we are? We're dinosaurs, the way the world looks at it. You don't have the rock band. You ain't got the music. You ain't got the strobe lights. You ain't got the drums. Come on, man. Come on, man. What's the matter with you? Come on. Y'all got to get with it, baby. That's where it gets. So it says, what kind of person ought you be in holy conversation? Our conversation, people ought to, you know what they said about Simon Peter? They said, hey, you got to be one of them because your speech gives you away. Paul Schessler, guy, Squeaky, just called me yesterday. And a guy named Paul Schessler, he said, remember Paul Schessler? He used to come to church once in a while. And Joe Wachowski worked with him as a Boilermaker. And I told Joe, I said, yeah, Paul works up there. Paul's saved. I mean, he's a saved man. But Joe said, you could never have told anybody, could have suspected that guy to be a Christian. He said, because man, when on the job site, he was cussing and going off, going crazy. And Joe went up to him one time and said, hey, don't you go to Faith Baptist Church? You ought to be living right, man, talking right. He goes, who the blank are you? He said that to Joe. And boy, I tell you what, that's where we're at. That's where we're at. No conversation when it comes to, no holy conversation when it comes to living right and godliness. It says, look at verse 12. And the hastening unto the coming day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with the fervent heat. And it says, nevertheless, we according to his promise. Did God promise us a new heaven, new earth? Did God promise a new body? Did he promise us a new home? Did he promise us he promised a bunch of stuff. The Lord sure did. And God's going to keep his word. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven, new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. I'm going to tell you something, folks. I'm looking forward to that day. I'm looking forward to that new heaven, new earth. I'm looking for a place where we don't have to worry about gun shootings and people, kids dying, somebody burning, somebody over religion. And I tell folks all the time, religion is what damns people. That's what damns people. Salvation is in Jesus Christ. Religion damns people to hell. I mean, I've watched some videos before I was saved. I watched some bad stuff. I mean, my brother come back from Vietnam. He was showing me videos of people, the things that he did to people in Vietnam. And I watched that stuff when I was a kid. And then after I got saved, I had some preachers send me what Saddam Hussein did to people. And Saddam Hussein was a brutal dictator murderer, and cut their tongues out and everything else, man. Anybody that opposed him. I watched some bad stuff, but today that thing stirred me up. But that little girl just going to church. Just going to church one time. And then I started thinking about kids in America. And man, and the only thing a guy could think of is what I want to do. I want to go down and I'm going to kill a bunch of people, innocent people, just for no reason. That's the way it, God have mercy on our country. God, we better be praying for our country tonight. Pray God have mercy on our country. God keep us safe. Look at verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that we look for that for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in what? That's where a lot of Christians don't have any peace today. No peace, no happiness, without spot and blameless. In the account that the foresuffering of our Lord in salvation, even as our brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him that have written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest wrestling. They wrestle the words, as they do also other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your steadfastness. I wrote a bunch of things down about falling. You fall from your steadfastness. I mean, brother, we not need to fall from being strong. I tell people all the time, stand, man. Don't quit. Stand. Don't fall. Get up. If you do fall, get up and go again. The Bible says this in Jude. I'm going to read it to you. The Bible says in the book of Jude, it says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. See what it says? But ye, beloved, building up yourself and on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourself in the love of God. And you got to keep yourself in the love of God. The devil will work on you and say, God, you know, God's mistreat you. God didn't do you right. You weren't, you know, all those things that he whispers in your ear. It says, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ on the eternal life, and of some having compassion, making a difference. You can't go wrong having compassion on people. It says some having compassion on people, making a difference. And others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Now on to him that is able to keep you from what? I don't want to fall. I don't want to fall. Whenever you fall, sometimes you break things. The older you get, you break things. And when a little child falls, they scrape up things. And sometimes you scrape up things. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God and Savior be glory, majesty, dominion, and power for both now and forever. I mean, folks, you ought to have a determination inside you. Say, I do not want to fall. I want to stand. I want to run the race. I don't want to trip. I don't want to fall on my face. I don't want to do that. I want to keep going for God. And it says, don't fall from your steadfastness. I mean, stand, always try to stand through the word of God. Stand on your faith. Stand for what's right. But look what else it says. But grow in grace. How do you grow in grace? You grow in grace by the word of God, dealing with situations and people and praying about things, saying, Lord, help me to have grace. Help me to have grace for people. It says, grow in grace. A lot of people I've seen, they think they're mature Christians. I've seen people that told me, and they said they're mature Christians. I know my Bible. I know this. And as soon as something happens in their life, I've seen people lose their cool and lose their tongue and lose all kinds of stuff. And they think they're giant Christians. They think they're mature Christians. But when the test comes, and the fire in your life comes, what they do is they turn tail or get mad and call and blame everybody else for their problems. The test is going to come. You're going to be tested. You're going to be tried. And there ain't no way around it. Grow in grace. Grow. And you got to grow in grace. It's a day-by-day thing. That's what you're supposed to do. I've seen so many people that thought they were mature Christians, thought they were strong, and as soon as a little problem comes in their life, they quit serving God. I'm not going to church no more. I'm not going to serve God no more. I'm not reading my Bible no more. I'm not praying no more. I'm not doing none of that stuff no more. I'm just sick of it. That's what they get. And here they are, supposed to be mature Christians. They don't have no patience with nobody. Have no patience with other brothers or sisters. I try to have patience with people. I pray for them. Before I say anything, I'll pray for a good while. And I want to have patience with people. Most Christians that think they're mature, they have no patience. They have no patience with dealing with people. They just want to fire down on them. They want to be like John and James. They said, should we call fire down and burn them up? That's how you know that's a baby Christian. That's a baby Christian. A baby Christian always wants to see judgment on somebody. I don't want to see judgment on nobody. Really? How many in this room want to see somebody, God bring judgment on somebody? If that be true, I said, if that be true, brother, we're all in trouble. Amen. If that be true. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. you're going to get tried. You're going to go through some things, and God's going to check you out. You know how, if you won't have, the Bible says you show mercy, God has mercy. You have grace, God will show grace to you. The Lord deals with you according to how you deal with others. I've seen that happen in my own life. And you said, that's why I'm real careful about saying anything. I'm real careful about running my mouth about somebody too much. And I've run my mouth. Don't get me wrong. I've run my mouth. But I pray God now, I'm trying to learn. I'm trying. Because every time I say something, it always comes right back on me. Say, how do you like to walk in them shoes a little while? And you check you out. So that's what happens with Christians. And you better be careful. I've got a bunch of verses on falling. And I tell you what, I don't want to fall. And Bible talks about a haughty spirit than a fall. You better be careful. Amen. All right. Pray for these.